This morning, you're about to open your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Again, that's the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. In the 12th year of King Ahaz of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, began to reign in Samaria over Israel. He reigned 9 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, yet not like the kings of Israel who were before him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria came up against him. Hoshea became his vessel and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria found treachery in Hoshea, for he sent messengers to King Saul of Egypt and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the kings of Syria confined him and imprisoned him. Then the king of Syria invaded all the land and came to Samaria. For 3 years he besieged it. In the 9th year, Hoshea the king of Samaria captured Samaria. He carried the Israelites away to Assyria. He placed them in Halah, on the Habar, the river goes on, and the cities of the Medes. This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. Remember the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They had worshipped other gods and walked in the customs of the nations, whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in customs that the king of Israel had introduced. The people of Israel secretly did things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtowers to fortified cities. They set up for themselves pillars and sacred poles on every high hill, and under every green tree. There they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord carried before them. They did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, in accordance to the law that I commanded your ancestors, and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." They would not listen, but were stubborn, as their ancestors had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes and the covenant he made with their ancestors, and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols because they fought and became false. They followed nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do as they did. They rejected all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves cast images of two calves. They made a sacred pole and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. They made their sons or daughters pass through the fire. They used divination and augury. They sold themselves to do evil inside of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore, the Lord became very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. No one's left but the tribe of Judah alone. Judah also did not commit the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. The Lord rejected all the sins of Israel. He punished them and gave them the hand of their plunderers, until he banished them from his presence. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jerome son and Nebat king. Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sins. The people of Israel continued all the sins that Jerome committed. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had foretold through his servants and prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Now this is probably one of the most terrifying passages in this entire book, and perhaps in the entire scripture itself. Here we see God's judgment coming upon a nation. Now, you may have noticed, I feel like you skipped a bunch of chapters. I did. And the reason was because I couldn't find a good one to really talk about. You know? Because here's what happened with these kings that happened in between time. You know, we talk about a king last go around and how Elijah had to straighten him out a little bit. and talking about how his son, it'd be Jehu's son, Jehoshaphat, became king, reigned 17 years. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam. In other words, he had those two golden calves. And this king was king when Elijah was an old man and very sick and was dying. And he actually goes visit Elisha and asks for help against the enemies. And Elisha said, take that bow and arrows and pound the ground. And each time you pound the ground, the Lord will give you a victory over your enemies. And that foolish king, he just kind of picked it up and went, 1, 2, 3, and stopped. And Elijah said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have been in Aram until they were entirely destroyed. Now it'll be victorious only 3 times. And that was so often how it was with Israel. They would do things half-heartedly. God gave them an opportunity to give them a blessing for victory in battle and the king and his laziness. But that's good enough. It was good enough till round 4, and then he got defeated. Well, that king dies, and Jeroboam II becomes king. He reigns for 41 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight and continued the sins of Jeroboam. Well, he dies. Zechariah is not the prophet. This is a different guy. He reigns for 6 months. That's not very long, is it? Zechariah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, as his ancestors had done. And what happened was, then a guy named Shalom, conspired against Zechariah and assassinated him in public and became the next king. It's a sign of the chaos of a country when you see folks getting killed left and right like that. And what happens with him? Verse 13, Shalom becomes king, and Shalom reigns in Samaria for only 1 month. Why? Because a guy by the name of Abinahim went to Samaria and assassinated him, and he became king. Abinahim, he reigns for 10 years. Okay, we're doing better. But he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. During his entire reign, he refused to turn away from the sins that Jeroboam had committed. He dies. A guy named Pekahiah becomes king. He reigns for 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He dies. Then we have a guy named Pekah. He reigns 20 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Now, guys, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kings I just went through. And it is all the same story. They became king. They did what was evil. They would not repent. They die, some sooner, some later. So finally, we get to this guy, Hoshea. He reigns for 9 years. And the king of Syria came against him. And so he pays the king Syria money, bribes him off. And then he gets a little sneaky, thinks, what I'll do is, I'll form an alliance with Egypt. Because you know what a great country Egypt is. And us in Egypt, we'll gang up and we'll beat up Assyria. But what did the psalmist just say a little while ago? A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope of victory, and despite its great might, it cannot save. He thought, if I get the Egyptian army behind my back, we can push Syria back. And instead, what happened was, the Assyrian army came down to Israel, seized it. He was captured and thrown in the dungeon. And then all the people of Israel got hauled off into Assyria. And then the author spends verse after verse after verse Did that sound repetitive when I was reading that off? I mean, he's really hammering this home. Like, they did evil. They broke God's commandments. He delivered them from, you know, he delivered them from Egypt. And then they returned to Egypt, to that Pharaoh of their generation, for rescue. It talks about they set up pillars, and God was sending prophets, and they ignored him. And talk about they had those two calves they worshipped. Remember, that's why got the folks in trouble in the time of Moses. They set up the sacred pole. They worshipped the host of heaven. That means they were worshiping the stars. Nowadays, we call that astrology, by the way. They served Baal. Listen to this. They made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire. Child sacrifice. They used divination. That means they were calling that 1-800-1900 psychic to try and get an inside clue of what's going to happen next. And God removed them out of there. And we know when this book was kind of written, because the author says, so Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria to this day. And then comes the irony of this story. Verse 24 talks about how the king of Assyria says, you know, we got this new real estate. I need some of my folks down there. And he sends in these foreign groups from Babylon, Cuthia, Ava, Hamath, and Samaria. And they took possession of Samaria and settled there. But verse 25 says, when they first settled there, they did not worship the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So word gets back to the king. Hey, king, the lion, he ain't sleeping in the jungle tonight. He's over here eating your people up. And the king of Syria was told, the nations you have carried away in places in Samaria do not know the law of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them. They are killing them because they do not know the law of the God of the land. So the king says, send there one of the priests whom you carried away from there. Let him go and live there and teach them the law of the God of the land. So one of the priests who they carried away from Samaria came to live in Bethel. He taught them how they should worship the Lord. Isn't that kind of sad? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kings. This guy was number 8. And they all led the people astray and got hauled off into exile. And then a pagan king sends in a bunch of pagans down to the land of Samaria. And when word gets back that the lions are eating them, his wise men said, oh, the problem is, king, that land belongs to the Israel's God. And so you need to teach those people down there how to worship Israel's God and worship him. And so he finds a priest, say, hey, priest, I want you to go down to Bethel. Remember Bethel? That's where Jacob saw the stairway to heaven. Go down there and teach these people how to worship the God of Israel. Sad, isn't it, that God's own people would not worship God. God's own king of Israel would not lead his people to worship God. But a pagan king told his pagan people, if you want to live in this zip code of Samaria and Israel, you need to worship the Lord. This is his territory. What was that scripture we read this morning? The Lord brings counsel of the nations to nothing and frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the thoughts of God's hearts to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom the Lord has chosen as a heritage. It is a very dangerous thing when a nation forgets God. I saw that in my own lifetime back when there used to be a thing called the USSR. Remember it? And didn't believe in God. And then when I was a kid, I saw that Berlin Wall come down and the USSR disappeared off the map. At one time, there was a nation called Israel. But because they sinned and rebelled, it disappeared off the map and this became a little subdivision of the Assyrian Empire. How tragic to think. The heroes of the nation had Elijah and Elisha and many other prophets. And in spite of that, they continued down the path of destruction, to find God said, enough, I've had enough, and off they went to Assyria. So my prayer is that as Christians, that we would pray for our nation, and Lord, let us and our nation be such a witness that our nation follows your paths, your decrees, your laws, that we don't experience that divine judgment upon us as a nation, but rather we enjoy your divine blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen.